Romans chapter 13 this morning. It's good to see all of you here today. Praise the Lord. Glad that you are here with us. Most of all, I'm glad the Lord is here. And our God is able to meet every need this morning. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is able today. We serve a God that's able. The Bible said He is exceedingly abundantly above all things, able to do the things that we ask. Praise the Lord. Yes. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse number 11. The Bible says in Romans 13 and verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." This morning I would like to preach the seven ups of God's Word. Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you today. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence that's already in this place. God, I ask and pray, Lord, that you'd bless your Word. Lord, that you would honor it, that it would not return void. God, you would anoint me to preach. Open up every heart today to receive from you. And God, for what you do, we won't fail to give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe this morning, if every one of us were honest with ourselves, as we look at the Word of God and we look at this world that we live in, we would have to all admit that we are living in the last days. When we consider the violence that we see and the calloused and the cold hearts of people in this world and the chaos that is evident all around the globe, church, it is only a matter of time before Christ comes back and receives His church. It's only a matter of time before Christ raptures His church. There's nothing left in the prophetic calendar to be fulfilled for Christ to come back. Since it's only a matter of time for Jesus to return, I believe now more than ever, we as Christians need to be fully engaged in the work that God has called us to do. The last two Sundays, I preached about our need as Christians to refocus. We need to refocus our hearing on God and what God has to say to us through His Word. We need to refocus our vision on Jesus Christ and Him alone. We need to refocus our thinking on things that are above and things of God. We need to refocus our purpose and what God has planned for you and I. In light of Christ's return and our need to refocus 100% of our life on the things of God, there are seven ups in the Word of God we should apply to our day-to-day life. Seven things today that if we apply these to our life and our day-to-day life, I believe that God will use you and bless you, and this world will see the light that was within you. First thing we need to do is we need to wake up. Hey, praise God. Some of you need to wake up this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 13 and verse 11, "And knowing the time." How many know that we need to know the time in which we live? The men of Issachar back in Chronicles says that they knew the time that they lived in. We need to know the time. God's Word is clear on what the signs will be of the end times. Since we see things happening today, we know that we are living in the last day. Since we know this, Paul says not only that we're knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. Since we're in the last days and we recognize these days are the final days here on earth, then now is the time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up out of spiritual slumber. Every one of you this morning need to wake up. Praise God. Praise God. We need to wake up. Everybody today woke up probably to the sound of the alarm. Or if you're busy and you've got something that's on your calendar on a certain day, that you have things that you have to do in the morning, you oftentimes will set an alarm. And when you do, if you go to work and you have a job that you go to steadily, you know that there's a time at which you must be there, and you know there's a drop-dead time that you must awake. Whether it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and if you get up past 6 o'clock, you're in trouble, you're going to be late. Or it's 7 o'clock or whatever, there's a moment on the clock where you know you have to wake up. If you had to go to work, praise God, there's a time at which you must be up by. If you're not, you're going to be late and you're going to be in trouble. Paul's saying, listen, the alarm is already going off. We're in the last days, and if you don't wake up, you're going to miss your divine appointment. We are in the last days. Time is running out. The alarm has already been set. And I want you to know that we don't have the time to waste. Many Christians are guilty of hitting the spiritual snooze button over and over again. I don't know about you, but my wife likes to hit the snooze button on her alarm. How many like the snooze button? You see, it was created. Praise God. What would you do without a snooze button? But oftentimes in our Christian life, people will say, well, I'll get up next week. I'll wake up tomorrow. I'll wake up next month. I'll wake up next church. Or I'll wake up later. You've been hitting the spiritual snooze button, and you're not getting where God wants you to go in this Christian life. The Bible says, it goes on to say, now is your salvation nearer than when you believe. Wake up, because now eternity is closer than it was yesterday. Whether you go by the grave or the rapture, the final day on earth is quickly approaching. With every passing moment, every passing day, you are one step closer to salvation. Then he goes on to say in this verse, verse number 13, the Bible says, verse number 12, and night is far spent. Typically, nighttime is when people sleep. Paul says night is far spent. Your night is already gone. Amen. If you have $20 in your pocket and you go to the grocery store and spend $20, and you still need $10 to put in your gas tank, can I tell you, your money is far spent. You're already needing more than what you got. That's what Paul's saying. He says, night is already over. It's far spent. There's no time anymore. It's time to wake up. Sleeping is over. The time for the church to sleep is over. We can't sit back on our laurels and do nothing. We must do the thing that God would have us to do. We must wake up, because the Bible goes on to say one step further and says, day is at hand. Nighttime is over. The day is at hand. How many know? There's a song that I learned when I was a little boy. It says, praise God. It goes something like this. Lazy bones sleeping in the hay. How do you expect to get your cornbread made? Sleeping in the noonday hay. You know, if you're sleeping all day, you can't get anything done. Praise God. And just as your physical sleep, there is spiritual sleep. People have been lulled to sleep by things, and they're so numb to the world and numb to the Spirit of God. There's no getting up and going. There used to be a day when you used to work in the backer fields. Many of you know what that's like. Us young people don't understand that and can't fathom that. But you had to get up early, and they woke you up and said, hey, now's the time to work. The alarm clock's already went off. Their night is over. The day is at hand. It is time to be about my Father's business. Bible says, Jesus said, when he was just a youngin', he said, I must be about the Father's business. There is work for everyone to do, and we must be about that business. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
During World War II, America was asleep. In World War II, America was asleep. The world was at war. Hitler was literally systematically killing Jews in concentration camps over in Germany. He was invading country after country. Hitler's ambitions were literally to take over the world. America opted to do nothing. They sat over here, they watched the news, they heard about what was going on, but they had a policy of neutrality. What that means is that they were going to do nothing. They were just going to be a bystander and let everything happen that happened around them. But all that changed on December 7th, 1941. Why? Because Japan invaded the United States of America as they bombed Pearl Harbor. America was asleep, sitting on her hands. America left their guard down, and they were oblivious to the enemy's invasion. And that was what took place. They invaded that little island. And because Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, America lost most of their Pacific fleet. Over 2,000 people died, 20 naval vessels, and many airplanes. And from that time on, America woke up. They said, enough is enough. And it's time for the church and the Christian to say, enough's enough. And it's time to awaken. You see, it was time for America to wake up and engage with Japan and Italy and Germany, forming an alliance. Well, however, after an apparent successful attack, the general in Japan said this. Yamamoto saw what no one else did. Even though what he planned was successful, these were his words. He says, I fear what we have done is done nothing but waken a sleeping giant. He said, I fear that we have awakened a sleeping giant. Oh, church, my prayer today is that a sleeping giant that lies within you, that spiritual giant that within you that can do all things through Christ who strengthened you, would arise today and be the man or woman of God that you were called to be. It's time to wake up, church.
Amen.
The time is at hand. There was a man in Israel by the name of Samson. He was a man of great strength from his birth. He was set apart from the womb. He had a Nazarite vow not to cut his hair. However, one day he was spiritually asleep. The Bible says he Samson frequented a harlot's house by the name of Delilah. Now Delilah was offered a great reward by the Philistines. And if he could, she could go and find out the source of Samson's strength. She'd be well paid. Can I tell you the devil's looking? The devil's looking. The devil's looking to find out where your strength lies.
Yes.
One night, Delilah come to Samson and said, "Where do you get your strength from?" He lied to her and said, if you bind me with green withes, then that will take the strength away from me. So when the Bible said he laid his head in her lap and fell asleep on her knees. The Philistines came in, they bound Samson, and Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke up, he broke the bondage, and he went ahead and he drove out the Philistines. She got upset and did it not once, not twice, but three times. Shame on Samson. You see, Samson fell asleep spiritually long before he fell asleep physically. And I want you to know, you might be awake physically, but completely asleep spiritually. You see, there came a day when finally Delilah got the best of Samson. And when you're spiritually asleep, the devil will get the best of you. Mark my words, there is no neutral in the kingdom of God. Hear me, there's no neutral in the kingdom of God. You're either moving forward and drawing nigh to God, or you're falling back each and every moment of every day. Samson found himself with his head in her lap asleep. He told her, "My great strength lied in the hair." It wasn't in his hair that the strength was. It was in his vow to God. That was just a symbol of his strength. He's what we're saying is my strength lies with God. This is a symbol. He went ahead and put his head in her lap again. Then she went ahead and clipped it and praised God when she said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke as did before, but didn't even recognize the Spirit of God had already departed from him. You see, I want you to know, church, there are so many people that are going through the motions. You show up, you're here, but you aren't spiritually strong in the Lord. We need some people to wake up in the Spirit of God today, because God has something great for each and every one of you today.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. When Samson woke up, the Bible says the Philistines overtook him. And the first thing they did was put his eyes out. Samson couldn't see. But can I tell you, Samson couldn't see spiritually long before he couldn't see physically.
That's right.
Samson would have kept his spiritual eyes open and would have refocused on the heavens and would have been focused on God. He never would have found himself in the situation here. Can I tell you, you will fall asleep spiritually before the physical manifestation ever comes in your life.
That's right.
The Bible says that they put out his eyes and they bound him. Something that no man was ever to do since he was born. There was no one that could bind him. Why? Because the power of God rested upon Samson. But he gave up that right so that he could do what he wanted to do. Let me tell you, there comes a point in time when God will look at you and say, "Enough's enough." If that's the way you want to go, if that's the way you want to act, if that's the grudge you want to hold on to, then go ahead. The Bible says that He allowed Samson to go. Where did he? The devil will make it look good on the outside. Oh, he'll paint it up all nice and pretty. He'll gift wrap it and put a bow on it and say, "There you go. If you just partake." Did he let Eve in the garden and Adam? Look how beautiful it is. Here it is. And the moment he partook, the moment Samson let down his guard, he found himself in the mill, walking around the millstone, bound, doing the devil's work. You're either about the Father's business or you're about the devil's business. There's no in between. Why? Because the devil can keep you immobile. He's winning. Are you hearing me today?
Amen.
The Bible says that he was down there and he stayed down there grinding on that mill until the day came when the Philistines thought they would make a showcase of Samson. And they brought him up out of the dungeon and out of the mill where he was grinding in the mill. And they brought him out there to make a sport. He couldn't see, so they had a servant boy that led him. Can I tell you, the devil will lead you when you're blind in your spirit. He'll lead you and guide you. They led him to the place between two pillars. There they were. The crowd were amassed. Let me tell you, the whole crowd was there making fun of Samson. But Samson, when he was down there in the dungeon, sometimes God's got to take take us to the dungeon. Sometimes God's got to separate us from everything that we know, everybody we know, so that he can speak to our heart. There Samson was, grinding at the mill, no one around, being whipped like a dog. There he was, but while he was down there, he got his faith back with God. He began to look towards the heavenlies. He began to focus on the voice of God. He realized he was made more than just grinding at a mill. He knew that his thoughts changed, his vision changed, what he heard changed, and his purpose changed when he had the opportunity. Let me tell you, when he had the opportunity, he got there, he said, "Son, let me go ahead and fill the pillars." And he prayed this prayer to God. The Bible says that he prayed this. Samson called to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once." Let me tell you, Samson knew this was his moment. Samson knew this was his chance. The Bible says that he felt both of the pillars, asked God for strength, and brought that house down, and he took more lives than he did when he was alive in his death. Let me tell you, I believe this is the picture of the church. The church has fallen asleep in a hole around the world. The church is sleeping. But if we would just ask God one more time, strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us so that we can do your work. Strengthen us so we can do what you'd have us to do. Then God could use us in a great and mighty way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We need to wake up.
That's right.
And when we wake up, we need to reach up.
Yes.
The Bible says, Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Church, it's time to wake up, but when we wake up, it's time to reach up to heaven and God in prayer. I believe that God is still on the throne. God is still in heaven. God is still in control. God still cares about his children. God still longs for relationship with every single one of you. I still want you to know that God is alive and well today. He's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So reach up this morning to God in prayer. Reach up him. And if you have a need today, our God is able to meet that need. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. What that means, reach up to heaven without ceasing. You have a friend in the midnight hour that seeks closer than a brother. The Bible says in James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God and I will draw nigh to you." Church, God wants to hear from you this morning. When you wake up, God wants you to reach up and begin a conversation with him that should last throughout the day. Praise the Lord. See, when people face trials, they often turn to prayer as only a last resort. I heard of a man who was fighting a valiant battle with cancer. As people observed his gradual effects on his body and his lifestyle, one person said, when it was almost too late, he said, "Well, they've tried everything else. I guess it's time to pray." I heard of another man who was going through extremely hard time at work, a major crisis and a major proportion and overwhelming consequences for him and his company's future depended on what took place. He just couldn't resolve it. And then he finally said, "I've tried everything I know to do to get the situation taken care of, but I can't figure it out. It must be time to pray." In both those instances, prayer was the last resort, the last thing they thought of. Only after all options were eliminated did they decide to reach up. Church, I want to tell you this morning, don't wait till there are no other options. Make that your first option to go ahead and reach up to God in prayer and ask God to come through, because we serve a God that's able. The Bible tells us that to be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Praise God, and he's there waiting to hear from you. So reach up in prayer today. It's always time to reach up in prayer, because any hour when helping others or when bearing heavy cares, it's time to call our Father. It's a proper time for prayer. Reach up in prayer should be our first response, not a last resort. So we need to wake up, we need to reach up, and we need to suit up. Praise God. I believe that everyone needs to be armed to the teeth with the armor of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13-17, "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having been able to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The Bible says, Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You can't take your helmet of salvation but leave your breastplate of righteousness at the house. You can't take your sword and that alone. You've got to have it all. It's all or nothing, praise the Lord. But God wants us to have this. Why? Because we have a real enemy that wants to come at us every single day. So we must prepare ourselves every single day for the enemy and the onslaught of what he'll bring. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. I heard of a football player a long time ago as a kid. One thing that looks that was getting to him was the fact of having all the pads and the equipment that he had to wear, running effectively in a helmet and shoulder pads and a variety of other different protective gear. Praise God, was awkward and clumsy at first, but over time the protective gear became part of who he was. He realized that as long as I have this on, I'm in the best chance that I can possibly be to protect myself from injury. Can I tell you, in the word of God, they have been given, we have all been given the armor of God. Why? So that we can protect ourselves against the enemy. The Bible says that there are fiery darts that the enemy will send at us, and we must have the shield of faith. You see, we need something that we can stand behind. There are some things in the word of God that I stand behind. I stand behind the cross of Calvary. I don't care who you are or what you say or how you try to convince me. The cross of Calvary still looms over us 2,000 years down the road, and it will until everyone that comes to Christ is saved. I still believe in a virgin birth. I still believe that the little Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and through Mary came Jesus Christ. I still believe the fact that, praise God, praise God, praise God, I still believe the church is where God has called his people to, and to be used in and through the church, because the Bible says that he gave his very life for the church, and he said, upon this rock I will build my church. People think the church is a little bit of nothing, but no, Jesus gave his life to build this. Look at the disciples. Look at the Apostle Paul. What did they spend their time doing? They spent their time building churches, body of believers that were filled with the Spirit of God, moving forward, telling people that there was a Christ that died, that raised again on the third day. And I still believe in the resurrection. I still believe that Jesus Christ was killed, murdered on that cross. He was buried, but praise God, 3 days later he arose again. And I still believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being empowered and filled by his Spirit to give us what we need to help us through. Praise God, I still believe it. Praise the Lord. The helmet of salvation. Can I tell you, the devil will play with your mind? Yes. Why do we have the helmet of salvation? I did a whole series years ago here about the armor of God is to protect us. The devil will come at you and tell you you're not saved, you're not forgiven, you're much of nothing, you're not worth it, you aren't going to make amount, you aren't going to amount to nothing. Stay where you're at. But that's when you say, devil, I know I'm in a place where I call Christ my Lord and Savior. He's within me today. I'm right with him now, and I know that you can't take the salvation that is within me away. The devil didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. It is given by God, a gift from God. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want to reject the gift and leave it at the altar, that's your choice. But we have the opportunity to come to Christ. You see, we need to suit up, because the battle's on. Be not weary, Christian warrior. Buckle on your armor tight. Be strong and face the battle in the power of his might. Church, we have a power that's greater than you, greater than me, greater than all of us put together. His name is Jesus. He's in our house today in the form of the Spirit of God. He's in this temple as the form of the Spirit of God, and he gives us the power to overcome and make it through. Praise the Lord. So we need to wake up. We need to reach up, and we need to stand up. We need to suit up. Now we need to stand up. The Bible says in that same verse, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Church, we're living in the evil day. We're living in the evil day. Before I ever came over here, there was a holdup in L.A., and a man shot his grandmother 7 times. Tell me we're not in the last days. You couldn't convince me. There's nobody in this world that could convince me that we're not living on the edge of eternity. If we are, then why aren't we living like it? Church, there is so much that this world needs to know through the life that we live. The Bible says and having done all, to stand. Then it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about, and then it goes on. See, you can't stand up without being suited up.
That's right.
You know, someone that's asleep can't even stand up. Why? Well, I can probably sleep while I'm standing up. Ask my wife. I can fall asleep anywhere, praise God. But you can't stand up and be alert if you're not awake.
That's right.
You can't reach up in prayer if you're not awake. You can't suit up if you're not awake, but you can't stand if you're not prayed up, woke up, and reaching up to God. Because the Bible says, when you think you stand, watch out lest you fall. The Bible says in Proverbs that pride comes before a fall. Church, let me tell you, I want you to know, we need to stand if there's ever been a day for the church to arise, Christians to stand in their workplace, in their family, in the places that they go. It is today. It is now. Time is far spent. The day is here. Night is gone. The alarm's already sounded. It's only going to be a moment before the heavens declare through the trumpet sound as the archangel steps out. And God says, son, go get your church. And we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord's church. It's only a matter of time.
Amen.
I've always been told, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Right.
Look around you. Listen to people talk. People are crazy.
Yeah.
People are crazy, aren't they? Look at your family. You got at least one of them in there. All God's people said, man, I got a dozen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, as our society moves further away from the truth of God's word, and those who still believe in the truth are viewed as hopelessly out of touch with the modern world. But the need for Christians to take a stand in the day and age we live has never ever been greater. Why? We're not supposed to be obnoxious and offensive and conduct or attitude. We need to be the people of God that love and care for people.
That's right.
So when I'm preaching here, I'm not a food line like Sister Sheila. I like that food line. I don't stand at the produce department and preach like this. You know what I do? I do what Christ did. I just love people.
Amen.
When God gives me the opportunity, I'll pray with them. I'll share the love of Christ. I don't do this when I meet people and witness. You've been witnessed to. You know the gospel. That's why we gather together, is to be reminded. If I stood up here and talk like this, I love you, everybody. Our church would be empty. Maybe not. But I am passionate about this. This is my life. It needs to be all our lives. And I believe that it is. We need to let this lost and dying world know that there's a God that loves them. We need to stand. Can I tell you, battling the devil is difficult. But I want you to know, defeat is not an option. The devil will find any way possible to get to you. He'll use your wife, he'll use your husband, he'll use your children, he'll use your co-worker, he'll use people in the church, he'll use everybody or anybody to get to you.
That's right.
In 1860, the election in the United States carried so much weight because of the issues that were at hand. One of the major issues, there were many issues up to the 100 years of its existence, when it was founded, when Abraham Lincoln became president. There were all kinds of issues that divided them, but they always found a way to compromise and come to a meeting in the middle, and they kept moving forward. But this issue was greater than other ones. It was about slavery, and the U.S., there was half that said, you know what, we're for, other half that said that we're against. They were both opposed and couldn't come across the aisle and come up with a solution. But Abraham Lincoln was against slavery. And in 1860, he was elected president. And the moment he became president, 11 states in the South seceded from the Union. As a recognition of the rebellion, war commenced. Both sides picked their people, and some went from the South and went to the North, some went from the North, went to the South. Throughout the war, there were untold stories and all kinds of stories about farmers and tradesmen who rose to the occasion and stood for their belief, whether right or wrong. The battles were fierce. The supplies were few. But these people were fighting for ideals and what they believed. One such story was of a young Southern soldier who was badly wounded in a battle when a cannonball almost completely hit him and killed him, almost killed him. The soldiers gathered around him and got a stretcher and carried him back to the back of the battle, and the medical staff in that tent began to bandage him up and began to work on him. Young man, bloody, said, "Let me out, I want to fight. Let me out, I want to fight." The medical staff gathered around, tried to convince this young man not to go back in the battle. They went out and reached out to one of the commanders and said, "Come in here, talk some sense into this boy." So they got one of the commanding officers, they came in, and they tried to convince him. The officer saw him and couldn't believe his eyes. He said, "Son, you fought well, but with a missing eye, badly handicapped arm, and a lacerated body, you should stay here in the rear of the battle." The soldier said through tears, says, "Officer, I respect you." He said, "But I'm going to continue to fight. This battle has no rear. There are no back lines and front lines. We're all in it. Church, I want you to know, in this thing called Christian life, in the Savior that we serve, Jesus Christ, there is no front line. There is no back line. We're all in the front line. There is no time to take a nap. There's no time to wait. There's no time to lay down and give up. We must stand. Church, if there was ever a time to stand, it is today in 2018. Standing for those things that are right."
Amen.
You may never physically yield or wield a sword, or you may never physically wield a gun, but we're in a fight nonetheless. The Bible says the battle is in array. We fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you, if your life is any different than mine, which I'm sure that it's not, you are fighting battles every single day. I want you to know, in those battles, we must stand. Oh, the enemy might get the best of you today or tomorrow or last week, but no matter how bad he beat you, no matter how bad and bloody you are spiritually, no matter how many times you fall down, you gotta get back up and keep on fighting. I want you to know that the outcome will be worth it all. Once you get 1 second inside of glory, you will say, "It was worth it all." But I will tell you this, 1 second inside of hell, and you would say, "I would give it all if I could have a life in eternity."
Yes.
See, eternity is forever. It's forever and ever and ever. There's no exits in hell. There's one way in. No, there's a million ways in and no way out. I don't know about you, but if there's ever a time to stand so that your family knows, your friends know, the people you work with know, that there's a God in heaven and a son or daughter of God living on this earth, it's now. You see, God's command of the Christian is stand. And having done all, get back up.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
And if you feel down, call me. I'll lift you up.
Amen.
If you're down, call someone you know that's going to build you up.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The only battle you'll lose in this life is the battle you stop fighting. The only way you won't make it to heaven is if you roll over and quit. That's your choice. That's my choice. But I've made my choice. I know whom I have believed in and persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There's coming a day when I want to stand before Christ and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Is anybody here want to hear those words today? We have an example in King Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says King Nebuchadnezzar built a statue of gold, and he had all the kingdom there. And he said, hey, when you hear the music, I want you to bow down before the image. There they were. There were probably hundreds of thousands of people there that day. The music played. They all bowed, but three young men. The Bible said that they saw those young men, took them to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, boys, let me tell you, I'm going to give you one more chance to bow. Then he said, when the music plays, I want you to go ahead and bow down to the image. And if you don't, I want you to go ahead and suck that thing up seven times hotter. The furnace was on fire. Seven times hotter. Those boys looked at King Nebuchadnezzar, said, sir, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you want me to do, but no thanks. I think I'll stand. We need to be the people of God in this wicked and perverse generation to say, you know what, devil? I hear you. I know where you want me to go. I know what you want me to do, but no thanks. I think I'll stand. And if you want to get me off my feet, you're going to have to knock me down in the power of the Spirit of God. And when I get down, God, give me the strength through your Spirit to get back up once again. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to wake up. We need to reach up. We need to suit up. We need to stand up. And we need to shut up. That's a bad word in my house. So don't come in my house and tell anybody to shut up. But I have everybody's attention now. Proverbs 13:3. Time out. This is eternal business. This isn't what we see today. You and me, this is not. This is bigger than what we see. You know why? Because inside of every single person is a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. And one thing we do can keep people out of heaven. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Church, we need to wake up, reach up, suit up, stand up, and shut up. Say, what are you saying, Pastor? There's some things that we need to stop saying. There are some things that we need to stop saying. When it comes to gossip, shut up.
Amen.
I have the Word of God to back me up on this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26:20, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. If you're in a campfire and you have a big pile of wood, I don't care how big it is, if you don't put any more wood on it, it's going to burn out. So the song of praise God, Solomon said, where there is no wood, there fire goeth out. Where there is no talebearer, or where there's no gossip or gossiper, the strife ceases. Look at your families. Everybody in their family has had family issues. This person saying this thing about this person, this cousin saying about this cousin, this brother's talking about. If you got brothers and sisters, you know what I'm talking about. You did it in your, this and that, blah, 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 blah. But when everybody shuts up and stops talking, there can be peace, unity, and harmony. When it comes to put downs, we need to shut up. When it comes to criticism, we need to shut up. Oh, you were shouting me down when I was talking about standing.
That's right.
Wait a minute. You were shouting me down when we talked about standing. Suiting up, now everyone's quiet. Why? Because we're all guilty. Nobody likes to see me preaching on what they're guilty of. I'm not done yet. I'm just getting warmed up. Let me tell you, if we're not growing, the Bible says, Paul, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your age doesn't determine, your age does not determine your maturity in Christ. There are kids that are more mature than some Christians.
Amen.
Hear me.
That's right.
We need to, when it comes to put downs and criticism, we need to shut up. Here's why. Matthew 7:12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever men should do to you, do also to them. Basically, that's the golden rule. What you would want people to do with you, for you, you do to them. Which means, how many like to be put down? If you like a good put down, go up and raise your hand. If you like to be criticized and belittled, raise your hand. Look around the room. Look around. None of you like it. You don't like criticism. You don't like put downs. Yet, you meet people in that. I love that money thing. They got the money thing. You know, make it rain. People's mouths make it rain with criticism and put downs and gossip. I've always been told if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say it at all. When it comes to murmuring, grumbling, and complaining, shut up. We are the people of God. We are the people of God. That means the very Spirit of God is supposed to live within us. And if the Spirit of God lives within us, if we have the hope of heaven in glory, where we're going to spend eternity in heaven in peace and love, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Can I tell you, that's something to shout about. That's something to tell your neighbor about. That's something to spread out in this world to let them know there's a God that loves them. For your children, your grandkids, your aunts and uncles, your parents, they hear you gossiping, complaining, putting people down, criticizing, and complaining and grumbling. You are doing nothing but nailing their coffin if they don't know Christ to say, man, if you're a Christian, why in the world would I want to be like you?
That's
right. We need to shut up. One thing I'm going to stop saying is that I can't. No, you won't. I've come to realize people do what they want to do. Every single one of you do what you want to do. When you want to do it, you do it. Man, if there's something you want to go to, something you want to see, you will mark your calendar. You'll make sure the funds are there. You'll make sure everything is right in order. And you will accomplish what you want to do. We need to take "I can't" out of our vocabulary. You know why? Because my Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If it's God honoring, if God's going to get the glory, if He's going to get the praise, then God will give you the strength and the power to see it through. Let me tell you, every single time you step out in faith and God's going to get the glory, oh, you might fall flat on your face. You might have struggles and difficulties, but if you continue to move forward, He will get the glory. He'll give you the strength and the power to do it. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. There's some things we need to stop saying. I believe this invokes Kenny Rogers' song, The Gambler. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You better cap your mouth while you're sitting around the table, or someone's going to start blazing some guns. You know what I'm saying? Where the wood, where there is no wood, the fire ceases. Listen, if we were just as a church, in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, with our children, if we could just get a grip on that part of the service, your family would be revolutionized. The Bible says, this is the Bible, life and death is in the tongue. That means it doesn't cost you any more to pay someone a compliment, to show them love, than it does to do the opposite.
That's right.
David said in the book of Psalms, put a watch over my mouth. That was David. Why? Because, praise God, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we get our heart right, our mouth will be right. Our life will be right.
That's right.
We're all going to make mistakes. Amen. The first perfect person, please stand to your feet. I'll get down on my knees because I'm not perfect either. We've all made mistakes. But that's where love covers a multitude of sin. We need to wake up, reach up, suit up, stand up, shut up, and we need to speak up. Praise God. You asked for it. I didn't do it. We're past 12 o'clock. It was not my intention. I was planning on being dumb now. I'm going to make this short and sweet. But you know what? God gets the glory. Praise God. We need to speak up. Yes, there's some things we need to shut up about, but there are some things we need to speak up about. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, praise God, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. There's coming a day when we were filled with the Spirit of God and had the power to witness. If there's one thing we need to shut up about, there's something we need to speak up about, and that's our testimony about what God has done. We need to tell this lost and dying world there's a God in heaven. There's a Son that was crucified and died on Calvary's cross, that was buried and rose again, and there's hope for eternity in heaven. We need to witness to everybody we see. We need to let them know that there's a God in heaven. Mark 16:50 says, He said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, speak up about the gospel message. And every creature, Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. If there's something that we need to speak up about, it is the fact that we are saved, sanctified, delivered, and on our way to heaven. We need to let people know that God loves them. We need a witness to this world. If there's something else that we need to speak up about, we need to speak encouragement. This verse here, everyone knows it well. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. That's not me, that's the word of God. As the manner of some is, that's the word of God. But encouraging or exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe this speaks of getting together. We need to get in the house of God as often as we can. Amen?
Amen.
Bible says, we're taking out some minutes altogether. But it also speaks of, why? Because the Bible says the day is approaching. What's that day? The last day. Your death by the grave or Christ coming back. The day is approaching when we no longer will be here. He said, so we need to get together more. But when we get together more, what should we be doing? The King James Version says exhorting. What that means is encouraging. When we get together, it should be encouraging. We should speak up about encouraging one another. I want you to know that I love you. And everyone sitting here today, you can bear witness of me encouraging you over and over again. If you feel down, call me. I'll encourage you. If you feel like you can't make it, call me. I'll encourage you. If you just want to talk, I'll encourage you. Why? Because that's what we're called to do. We are to encourage one another. There's enough people in the world that'll criticize you, put you down, talk about you, grumble and complain, but there's hardly anybody that'll build you up and encourage you. What's going to mark you from everybody else in your workplace? The fact that you encourage, you build up, you love, and there's a difference. That's why the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. One of the most overlooked needs in people's life is encouragement. I want you to know we need to be encouragers today, church. Praise the Lord. The book of Solomon says it like this. For if they fall, and one will lift his fellow up, but woe unto him who falls alone. For he hath no one to help him up. There are times in your life where you feel so low, you feel so low, you feel so down. But let me tell you, if there's somebody that you can get on the phone and talk to that will lift you up, that will encourage you in the Word of God and say, hey, you know what? Keep moving forward. You're going to make it. There is something that will give your spirit wings and you'll be able to do like it says. Praise God. You will be able to mount up with wings like eagles. Praise God. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Oh, you might be sick in your body, in a bed somewhere. You might be struggling. You might have no physical strength, but spiritually you will have the strength you need to help you through.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can I tell you, you'll never find a shortage of people that need encouragement. Look around you. Look in your family. Look at people that you see on a day-to-day basis. They need encouragement. You will set yourself apart from everybody around you. If you shut up about some things and speak up about some things, they'll say, oh my goodness, what happened to you? Well, I'm just following this book. Oh my goodness. Let me see that thing. Tell me about your testimony. Tell me about what is going on in your life. You see, encouragement will make a big difference. There was a story about some firefighters and where the situation, literally it was a point where there was hopeless. There was no hope for these people burning this building. The firefighters get there, they get their ladders and they put them up to the top of the building. And people were standing there at the window and there they are. They start bringing them out one by one and they bring them all down and they thought they had them all. But then they looked up after the building was almost completely in flames. There was one more person at the window, a little old lady. It looked like there was no hope. Someone was going to have to be brave enough to climb the ladder as the fire come engulfing the house and blowing out of the building. One firefighter said, I'll do it. He climbed up to the top. He grabbed the woman, wrapped her up in a robe and started carrying her down. He began to tremble. Then the people down on the ground saw the flames wrapping around them and they said, what's going to happen? The captain said, let's begin to cheer them on, man. Down below, they began to cheer them on, saying, you can do it. Come on, you can make it. One more step. One more step. And that man brought that woman down to safety. What made the difference? The encouragement of those around you. What's going to help you make it into the portal of the glory? But being surrounded by people that are encouraging you to take one more step, one more day, one more moment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We need to wake up, reach up, suit up, stand up, shut up and speak up. And we need to look up. You know why? Because the Bible says, in Luke chapter 21 and 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. What Jesus was saying, and when you see these signs begin to take place, don't put your head in the grass. Don't put your head down. Don't put it between your legs. Don't put it, turn the blind eye to what you see. No, when you see these things, when you see someone shooting their grandmother 7 times, you need to begin to look up. When you hear the chaos that's ensuing all around the world, look up. When things are going awry, when everything's helter-skelter, when everything's a mess and your world seems like it's turned upside down, you need to begin to look up. Why? Because redemption's drawing nigh. Why do we need to look up? Because God is enthroned in heaven. His power reigns on high. And if we focus our attention on God, listen to His voice, keep our eyes on Him, think about heavenly things, then we will begin to accomplish what God has for us in this life. Church, let me tell you, be encouraged today. Look up, because God is going to come back to take us home. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet this morning. Praise the Lord. Everybody just bow your head and close your eyes. As the song plays, I want you to know I love you. I love each and every one of you. I pray for you. I pray for your families. I pray for you. I pray that God will save you. I pray that God will bless you. I pray that God will strengthen you. This life is short. This life is short. And every passing day, people slipping off into eternity all around us. If you don't know Christ this morning, that's why Jesus came. To give us the hope of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come. He's able to save, the Bible says. He's able to save. We serve a God that saves. Maybe God spoke to you this morning. Maybe God challenged you or encouraged you. These altars are open. Can I tell you, there's nothing that our God cannot do. Our God is great. Our God is stronger. Our God is more powerful than anything that you will face in your life. If you have a need, I'll ask you to come. If God spoke, I'll ask you to come. Praise the Lord.